Amen. It's great to be here with you again this morning and to be able to worship with you. And it makes a change for me to be among a slightly bigger number. And it's always good to sit in the front. Those of you that sit at the back, if you never sit at the front, you should try it because you get everyone from behind you singing. It's great to be encouraged like that. Anyway, it's good to be here and it's good to worship the Lord and to be able to come to his words. Should we pray? And then we'll do that. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that ever you sent your word into this world, incarnate in the Lord Jesus. And among many other things, he has made known to us how precious is the church in your sight, that you hold it so close to your heart. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen your church and each one of the members that make up this body. We thank you that you give us your word to nourish us, to lead us, to guide us, to correct us, to teach us and train us, that we might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so we pray, please send us your spirit now. Open our hearts and our minds and speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. John asked me to speak on an aspect of church membership. And so that's what I'm going to do this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll read verses 1 to 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 27. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them all. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable we treat with special honour, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Amen. Well, I said John asked me to speak a bit about on an aspect of membership, and we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Paul tells us the reason why he's given us this chapter in verse 1 is so that we're not uninformed about spiritual gifts. So you might wonder, what's this got to do with membership? Well, it has a lot to do with membership. It speaks about us belonging and being a part of the body of Christ. And really, membership is acknowledging and recognising that God would have us be a part of a particular church. It's a formal recognition of that. And so if we recognise we're a body part, then surely we want to be a part of a body. It's very odd, isn't it? Body parts laying about the place that should concern you. If you find any, you ought to tell John or someone like that. Or phone the police even. But so it has a lot to do with membership. And we're thinking really just about a couple of aspects. But before we get into it, there's a few things that are important to notice. The first thing is that there are many spirits, but only one Holy Spirit or one Spirit of God. In 1 John, this is what John writes, chapter 4, he says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world, and this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God." That's the Spirit of God, in contrast to the many spirits. "Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and now is already in the world." So he speaks about many spirits coming, that we're to test the spirits. And in Ephesians chapter 2, it says this, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live." What does it say? "When you followed the ways of this world, of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time." So, the Bible is clear. Apart from the Holy Spirit, there are other spirits. And you may have noticed as we read those two little passages that they lead us away from the acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is the exalted Lord and King. Did you notice that? So in 1 John, it speaks about the spirits not acknowledging Jesus Christ. That's Jesus, the King. They don't acknowledge Jesus is King. They don't acknowledge Jesus' right to rule and reign over their lives. And they don't acknowledge that Jesus is from God. And if in Ephesians, this spirit of the air, that's Satan. And again, he leads us away from God, away from God's purposes. And it says who is at work in those who are disobedient. So the spirit of Satan and the many spirits, demonic spirits, that can influence us are spirits of rebellion, ultimately, against God. And if we follow those, we will find ourselves in rebellion against God. Well, what's that got to do with what we're thinking about this morning? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it begins by telling us, verse 2, "You know that when you were pagans," in other words, before you knew the Lord, "somehow or other you were influenced and led astray." You were led astray. But he doesn't go into the detail of what the influences are. He says, somehow or other, many influences led you astray, led you away from God. And then in verse 3 he says, therefore I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. In other words, no one by the Spirit of God will deny Jesus, will deny who he is, will reject him. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In other words, no one can genuinely acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Of course, anyone can say it. I just read the words, those words there, Jesus be cursed. It says no one can say those words, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus, who is not speaking of the Spirit of God, and no one can say Jesus is Lord. Well, I just said those words, didn't I? So clearly it doesn't just mean pronouncing those words, it means a rejection. No one can reject the Lord Jesus as Lord if God's Spirit is in them. And no one can genuinely acknowledge that, yeah, Jesus is Lord and my Lord, and I bow to him as Lord and I surrender my life to him as Lord, unless the Holy Spirit is in them, except by the Spirit. And so it's important to understand, as when we think about membership, remember, that the whole of God's purposes are mediated, as it were, to us through the Scriptures, but also by one Spirit. There is one Holy Spirit, and that is obvious throughout this passage, okay? Now, I don't know, are you any good at being interactive here, yeah? Can you do that? Okay, I'm just going to read, we'll read through the chapter, and I want you to count, see how many times you can count Paul's emphasis on one Spirit, okay? Because this is God's word, and he wants us to notice things, and surely it will become clear. He wants us to be very clear that there is one Spirit of God, okay? So let's just read it. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, shout out, go one, okay? When you recognize one, then two on two, three, okay? As we go, and we'll see how many we notice. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit. Well done. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Well done. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them all. Yep. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. What was that?
Five.
To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. That's it, six. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous power. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Well, there's another two there, isn't there? He and he, twice, referring to the Spirit. So that's 12 so far, isn't there? Well, if we could go on, but I don't want to become tedious in this. There are at least 14 explicit references to the Holy Spirit. And that is a signal to us, as we read this, and as we think about membership, that it's got a lot to do with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And influences that lead us in rebellion against God are not the Holy Spirit, right? We saw that right at the beginning. And we don't want to be in rebellion against God. And that is, I would say, why membership is an important aspect. Because, as we'll see, the Holy Spirit is a major aspect of his working, is forming one body of people that belong to one another. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And hopefully, we don't want to resist the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so there's emphasis on the Holy Spirit. And I was just looking for some water. Is that all right? Thank you. My throat's a little bit dry. But not only is there, it's better than seeing a glass of water under there. You think, has that been there since last week? I'll try it and we'll see. And so anyway, so at least it'll be fresh. But there's also emphasis in this passage on one Holy Spirit, but also on one body. Now, we need to be careful when we think about one body, because actually the Bible teaches that there are lots of bodies and one body. So sometimes, if you read, as we read through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll have noticed Paul talking about the body of Christ, yeah? You saw that? And the same, you can see it in Romans chapter 12, speaks about the body of Christ. And there is one body of Christ universally, globally, thank you very much, or even cosmically. Okay, so there is one body in that sense. But also, Paul, when he writes to churches, identifies a local church also as a body. And one of the tricky things is, as you read passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12, what Paul does is he tends to switch between the two. But sometimes he's explicitly talking about the local body, sometimes he's talking about the universal body. And the other thing that makes it a little bit confusing is when he's speaking explicitly about the local body, what he says often refers to the universal or the cosmic body, the church all over the world. And when he speaks about the global church, the universal church or the cosmic church, the things that he says often apply also to the local body and are rightly applied to the local body. So the distinctions, we wouldn't want to be too hard and fast on them, but it's important still to recognise that there is the one body of Christ, universally, globally, all over the world, and the saints who are already in heaven, they're all part of this one body of God, of Christ. But it's important also to recognise there in verse 27, the Apostle Paul writes, "Now you," writing to the church at Corinth, "you," he says, "are the body of Christ." It's interesting, when you read in Romans chapter 12, he says, speaks writing from Corinth to Rome, he speaks about, we are the body, we, he says. But here, and that there he's referring to the universal body. But here, he's being exclusive, excluding, as it were, himself, and saying, you are the body of Christ there in Corinth. And you, Lance in Tabernacle, you are the body of Christ here in Lansing that meets in Lansing Christian Centre. Is it Christian Community Centre or something like that? I can't remember. You're Lansing Tabernacle and you meet in this building, right? And there are other churches that meet in other places. And they are, Paul could write to them and say, you are the church, the body of Christ in such and such a place. And each local body is in many ways a kind of microcosm of the cosmic body. And now, again, we're not going to, if we was look at all Paul's emphases, we'd have to read the passage several times. So I'm just going to tell you that there's emphasis on one body in the passage from verse 12, actually, to verse 27. I counted 20 emphases on the body of Christ. There is one body. We'll look at just some of them in verse 12. Just as a body, so he's referring to a body, though one has many parts, but all its parts form one body. So he's using the metaphor, analogy there. Verse 13, we were all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body. Verse 14, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. He speaks about the body parts, inferring a body. You read about it lots, you know, feet and eyes and hands. And so time and time again, in virtually every single verse from verse 12 to 27, you'll read about the body. He's talking about the body of Christ. Okay, so hopefully I don't have to convince you anymore about that. But then also in that same stretch of Scripture, there's another emphasis Okay? There is one Holy Spirit and one body, but many parts. Okay? So again, because of the emphasis there, Paul obviously is trying to drill this home to us. Okay? The body is made up of many parts. Okay, and so you know the passage, and I counted 27 emphases, but it depends on how you split it up. But whatever, you would notice, you can't deny the emphasis on the many parts of the body. And so having noticed those things and paid attention to them, we're going to spend now we're going to get into the text, and just think about what is it teaching us then about what it means to be a member of a church, a part of a local body, and what are some of the challenges and obstacles to it? Well, if you look from verse 15, now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And he takes that term of speech, or those terms of speech, and applies it to other aspects of being a part of the body. He basically is saying to the church in Corinth, you are one body, and each of you represents a different part. Just as with a natural body, you got hands and feet and eyes and ears and nose and mouth. So you are one body. And this is why it's foolish to have divisions among the body, isn't it? Sometimes we can be divided. We can speak against one another. You know, and then we hear that someone's been speaking to us and we get angry with that person. And we start speaking about them. And you got the hand chatting to the ear about the left hand, and the left hand chatting to the left ear about the right hand, and the foot kicking the right foot kicking the left thigh, and things like that. You know, trying to trip each other up. Yeah, that's just madness, isn't it? That's what it's like when the church is divided. And Paul is saying, each of you are a part of the body. That means if God has called you and brought you to this place, and you sense that, you know, God would have you be a part of this worshiping community, you're not just someone who's just decided to hang out with a group of people because you like the worship. No, this is a work of God. It says God has placed the parts, each one just as he determined them to be. God arranges the parts of the body. God sovereignly works to decide where he wants his people. And we might come to that in all sorts of ways. You know, that maybe we just feel at home in a certain place. Maybe we connect with the place. Maybe it's the vision of the church or whatever. But for whatever reason, often it's a combination of reasons, we just feel that this is where God would have me. And that is God sovereignly working to form his body. And if you feel that that it's right for you to be in some way a part of this church, then God is calling you to be a part of the body of Christ here in Lancing and at Lancing Tabernacle. But sometimes we can feel that we don't really fit in. You know, in fact, most people will feel that in some way. And we can feel like we don't really feel like I do believe this is probably the right place, but I just don't feel like I really fit in. And Paul has an answer for that, doesn't he? Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If you feel like you don't quite belong, you don't really fit in, and that can make people start thinking, maybe I should leave or go somewhere else or just sit on the margins of the church, take a bit of a back seat, kind of watch everyone else get on with it, and I don't really fit in. And if that's you, what Paul says is that the fact that you might feel like that does not mean that you are any less a part of the body than the pastor or the elders or anyone else. You are most emphatically a part of the body. Even if you haven't become a member of the church. If you're among these people and you feel God wants you here, then you're a part of the body. And the fact that you're different is a good thing. I mean, think about it, right? Suppose, you know, when we feel like we're different, we don't quite fit in. We look at others and we think they're all kind of the same. They all get on. They're all like, they all fit, but me, I'm different. Yeah, what are we saying? Are we saying I'm a hand and they're arms and legs and I'm not an arm or a leg, so I don't fit? I mean, imagine it, okay? If it was true that you don't fit in with the church because you're different and they're all pretty much the same, just imagine what that means. It means that the church that meets at Lance and Tab, it's not really a body, is it? It's an eyeball or something like that. Imagine that, the whole church, everyone was the same. You'd be like a giant eyeball. You wouldn't be a body, you would be a monstrosity. And if you think that everyone's the same in this church, that means this church needs you who are different even more, doesn't it? In fact, it desperately needs you. If you feel you don't fit in because you're different, that is a reason for you to jump both feet into the church. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And so maybe you feel different. Well, then the church needs you. And you, if you feel like you're not part of the body, God's word speaks to the way that you feel and says, you are. And sometimes, you know, there are all sorts of reasons why we might not feel part of the body, but sometimes we just have to tell ourselves, actually, no matter what, how I feel, no matter what other people think, God says, I am a legitimate part of this body. And we're to identify ourselves as such. And so sometimes people don't feel a part of the body, but we are, all of us. If we've been put in this place, we are a part of the body. Now, secondly, from verse 21, it says something else, doesn't it? It takes a different angle. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. In other words, there are sometimes, as the church, we might look at other people and think, I wish they'd go and worship somewhere else. Have you ever thought about anyone? Of course you haven't. No, you haven't, have you? You have. I bet some of you. I bet you've all thought that about someone. Nobody in this room, right? Yeah? But they've all gone, right? Those people, they've gone, thank goodness. but sometimes we might think that someone in the church might be making our life quite difficult. And we just wish, can't they go? There's a great church down the road. Can't they go and worship there? It would make my life so much easier. They keep spoiling things or whatever it might be. And Paul, or the Lord himself, speaks to you. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Now, think about the emphasis there. He doesn't say the body doesn't need you. If you find yourself thinking that there's a particular person or particular people that you kind of wish weren't part of the body, that really the church would be better off without them, you'd be better off without them, they should go and worship elsewhere. If you find yourself thinking that, the emphasis is on you, the individual, that I cannot say, I don't need you. And the implication there is you personally need that person. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? The very person that you would think, oh, I don't need them, they're the people you need most. I mean, imagine all the people that irritated us, that made our lives a bit difficult. Imagine they all did go to another church. Well, for some people, that would mean you're worshipping on your own every Sunday because everyone gets on your nerves. But even if, you know, you ended up with a bunch of people and just, yeah, everyone's dandy. You know, you just all get along fine. Yeah, you see each other, you pat one another on the back, and everyone's blessing one another. Everyone's a blessing to one another. Yeah, in that kind of church, you know, there's no need for forgiveness, is there? No need for any grace. Don't need grace for the people that you're all pally with. And God does not want a church that has no need of grace and no need of forgiveness. I really like reading books, particularly on the community of the church and those sorts of things. I love reading about that. Very often, and sort of being a missional church nowadays, if you read the books, they're big on what they often call missional communities and things like that. You may have heard that phrase. But basically, it's about, you know, us being a missional community every day of the week. We meet together, we're doing things together, and we're demonstrating our love to the world out there. And the idea is that people look at our little communities and think, what a wonderful bunch of people. I wish I could be like that. I would love to join that group of people. And when I read this stuff, I always think, man, they need to come and spend some time in our church, because it ain't like that. It is not like that. In fact, I would say the thing that distinguishes the church from the world isn't that we're all dandy, that we're all so lovely and we all get on with one another. The reality is we're not. That's true, isn't it? Really, if we're honest, we can be horrible little gits now and then. We say things that we act out of a wrong spirit, and we can be vengeful and spiteful and impatient and irritable with people. That's the truth, isn't it? What sets us apart is that we don't give up with one another. And that we keep forgiving one another. That's the difference between us and people out in the world, isn't it? Surely that's the distinctive. That we forgive and love one another, even when they don't deserve it. That's grace. So that very person that you wish would leave the church is calling upon you, as it were, to seek God for more grace, that you might live in forgiveness and grace. And it's that grace of God that people out there are longing for. So when we find ourselves saying, I don't need you, that person is God's means for you to grow in grace and love. And you want to pray, Lord, I mean, here's a prayer, give me some more. Okay, well, maybe not, just one at a time. Give me more grace. So there is one spirit, and the work of the one spirit is to form a body. And it's to form a body that exalts Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen. That's what it's about. And that's what you see right from the beginning. In fact, you know, I raised the question, what's this got to do with the body, with membership? When it speaks in verse 1, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. And then he does talk about the gifts of the Spirit. But you may notice that actually he's not just talking about the gifts of the Spirit. He broadens that out to cover every aspect of all that we do together to glorify Jesus. See, look in verses 3 and 4. Therefore, I want you to know, no one who is speaking... verses 4 and 5. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Then he broadens out. There are different kinds of service or ministry. So now he includes all ministries. It's all the one work of the same God, the same Spirit. And then he goes on to say in verse 6, there are different kinds of working or even activities. In other words, all that we do together, the exercise of our gifts, the ministries, all the work, the activities that we do, everything that we do when we're doing it for the Lord and working together, this is the work of the Spirit. He gives us these opportunities. He gives us these desires. He gives us these abilities and capacities and gifts. So everything gets gathered up under this one thing. God has made us, has given us all different gifts, different abilities, and brought us into one body, that together we might exalt Jesus as Lord. That's what the body does. Glorifies, honours and exalts Jesus as Lord. So, you are a part of the body even if you don't feel like you're a part of the body. And those parts of the body, those members, we can call them members, can't we? That's an entirely appropriate word. In fact, some translations use the word members of the body, and quite rightly. And those other members that we would look at, I think, I wish they weren't part of the body, are the very parts that you need most. But what about then those who have, I guess, an issue with membership? Maybe that's you. You come across these people who feel like, I don't need to go to a class or sign a form or go through some process to become a member of the church. I am a member of the church. Some people have that kind of mentality. And I understand that. They will say things like this. Where does it say in the scriptures you've got to be a church member? Well, the answer is it doesn't explicitly, but it does implicitly. Now, I'm not going to be looking at where it says that. That's another message. Maybe you've already heard that stuff. I don't know. But it definitely is it's implicitly there, but clearly there. And even in this passage, it's here. Because think about it. When a person comes and just visits the church, you know, Paul, you know, they're not a part of the body working together. They work like me. I'm a part of another body. We work together. I know the people who are a part of our church, who we work together with. And Paul might write to us. Or it's the same for you. There are people who just come and visit. And then there are people who say, who recognize that God, under God's sovereignty, he has placed me here to be a part of this body. And becoming a member is saying, I want to be attached. It's just recognizing that, and the church recognizing that. Knowing that we can count on you as part of this body, that you're committed to submission to the elders and all those other things that are entailed in being part of the body of Christ. In fact, as you read through this passage, there's one thing that you do not find. As I mentioned right at the beginning, you don't find the anomaly of parts that are not connected to the body. You don't find that. It's just not there. If you are, you know, a part of the church, you are a connected part of the church. And there's no place, really, for being on the periphery, for being a step away. Just for looking in. That the Bible just doesn't recognize that. If that's you, the Bible doesn't recognize you. It recognizes members, organically joined, recognized by the church. It doesn't recognize another kind of body part that's not actually attached or that's sort of tenuously attached, that doesn't really, not really fully functioning. Doesn't recognize that. And so I want to encourage you, if that's you, to ask yourself, you know, what am I? Am I a hand or a foot or an eye? What's my purpose? What's my role? What's my capacities and abilities? What's God called me to do and be in this church? And if you recognize that, then give yourself to it. Give yourself to the church. One spirit, and he works to form one body. Okay, and we don't want to be in rebellion, because that's not following him against what he is working towards. One body. Many parts, each one different, each one differently gifted. No wonder you feel like you're different. You are. Praise the Lord. You need the body, and the body needs you. One body, one spirit, many parts, many gifts and functions. We've not really looked at that. We've not had the time. But you know that, don't you? Everyone has a different role to play. No anomalies. Okay, if you're an anomaly, then make the decision, I will be fully a part of this church. So, and something to remember then, when you feel like you're not part of the church and you don't fit in, remember what God says. You've got it wrong. You might feel like that. That's your feelings. And sometimes we've got to get a hold of our feelings and our emotions and drag them to God's word and make them look at it. See what it says and accept you are a part of the body. When you wish so-and-so would leave the church, they're the ones that you need most. Ultimately, there is one reason why you should be a full-fledged member of a church. There's lots of other reasons, but one reason that I want to draw out as we close. That is this. In other parts of the scripture, when it talks about the body, it talks about the church, speaks about Jesus as the head, right? The head of the church. And we can think about him being the head of the body, and we're all the arms and legs and the various bits. And sometimes, you know, when little children first start to draw people, they often draw a head and arms and legs coming out the head, right? And there's no body. Now, we understand that. They've not learned yet. It's defective, isn't it? They've got to learn that actually, no, the arms and legs are joined together to a body, which are joined to the head, right? We all know that. And the thing is, here's the thing. What happens is the blood flows through the body. The whole body flows through the body. And in a similar way, the Holy Spirit flows through the body of Christ. And that is why, just for that reason, if we are one body, we don't want any parts amputated. Because it's going to hinder, as it were, what God is doing by his Spirit through the church. And if that's hindered, then we are not going to exalt Jesus as Lord as much as we could and as we would. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this passage in Scripture. Thank you that we are part of the body of Christ, that you've called together a body here that will work together to exalt Jesus as Lord. And I pray that each of us would jump in with both feet. I pray for those of us that perhaps feel we don't quite fit, that we would know we are a part of this body. And I pray for those of us that struggle with others, that you would give us grace to embrace and love our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.